Well, welcome everybody. My name is Joel Whitfield. I'm the assistant pastor here at Triangle Christian Center. We are a faith-based church located in the Raleigh-Briar Creek area. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. We also meet throughout the week, Monday through Friday for corporate prayer, Monday at 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday at 12 p.m. We encourage you to join us, pray with us together as a body of believers. I want to remind you or make you aware of our groups that meet throughout the month all over the city and surrounding areas. If you go on our webpage under the Groups tab, you can find them there. Or if you have downloaded our Church Center app, you can find all the groups there too. Go ahead and register today. Invest yourself into a group. Dive into it. And we're going to see those things grow. This year, we're going to see them just explode. This is a vision that God gave our pastor. We are following that vision and moving forward with it. So we encourage you to get involved in those groups today. Well, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts to receive today's message.
Get ready. People get ready.
Shalom. I've been watching The Chosen, and they always greet each other with shalom, shalom. Shalom means peace. Jesus said, I came to bring peace, not with the world, but peace with God. If you really want to get excited today, I invite you to go look up Strong's Concordance on the word peace in the New Testament. Shalom is how it's translated. But it will bless your socks off to see all the things that belong to us and that we get because we have peace with God. Not peace with the world, folks. Not going to come. Never is. Can't happen. You can get along with some folks out in the world, but no true peace. They will turn on you. But we as the body of Christ should stay together, work together, fight together, believe together, pray together. Everything it takes to be one. We're one with the Father and one with the Son and one with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to move ahead here. I got a scripture I want to read to you first off and cover some things that I didn't cover Sunday. You that are watching that were here Sunday, an awesome message, strong, relevant, timely. My goodness. A dangerous message. That's what I called it. Praise the Lord. We've all done some dangerous things in our life in the natural. But I'm talking about dangerous things that we do in the spirit and in our spiritual lives and not even aware of it. It's time to wake up, body of Christ. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17, I want you to... You know, the Bible does tell us another place that let every soul be subject to the higher powers. I don't care who you are. If you have a soul, there's somebody you have to submit to. Submission is good in areas. Of course, to the devil, no, that's not good. But listen to this. Talking about the ministry. Obey them. Here he's talking to the body, the Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you. Somebody's going to have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Can you think of anybody on earth that will watch over your soul? I do. That's why I'm like I am. I know my responsibility. I know what's going to happen if I don't. I know that I'm held accountable. A greater judgment upon me. I don't particularly like it, but that's just the way it is. I got to live with it because it's in the book. We that are teachers will go through a greater scrutiny on what we say. Look here. Obey them, those that rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If I have to do it, as a pastor, watching over your soul, and I have to do it with grief. And I got to tell you, folks, over 45 years in the ministry, a lot of grief has come from people who are Christians. I wonder sometimes how God looks at what's going on here. There's some things in the Bible that God says, especially in the book of, I think it's book of Luke. But he says, listen to this. Let these sayings sink down into your souls. Another way of saying that is, this is very important what I'm saying to you. So you focus deeply here. Sunday we talked about sayers, hearers, and doers. I think if you put it in the right order, it would be hearers. You hear first, then you say something, and then you should be doing something. Well, interesting. Or I said I could have named it the most dangerous thing a believer could ever do in their spiritual life, having to do with eternity. Now, In the book of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is ending the Sermon on the Mount. And I encourage you, if you remember, I encouraged everybody Sunday that to go home and to read Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7, all of them, the whole entire chapters. Won't take you that long. And you will see what we're talking about here. So he's ending up, and he's actually ending up with warnings. Warnings to those who follow him. All right. He says in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in, into what? Kingdom of God. At the straight gate, not up and down, straight gate. Look at here. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I'm talking to believers. I know it's that way for the world, but the world's already gone. Unless we can get to them and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and anointing. All right, listen carefully here. These are the words of Jesus. These are the sayings of Jesus. These are the warnings of Jesus. And the body of Christ has not paid heed to his word and to his warnings. They're playing. All right. Enter ye in the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, most, there be which go in thereat. Most people, the elect, the children of God, most are going to try the broad way, the wide gate. But that only leads to destruction. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Straight gate, narrow. All right. This is the way our life is going to be. It must be. Pay attention to me. Let these sayings sink down into your souls. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, many are not going to make it. Most are not going to make it. A few only. This has rattled me. Few there be that find it, the narrow gate, the narrow way, the small gate that leadeth unto life. All right, Matthew 7, let's go to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. How do you get saved? Believe thine heart, God raised him from the dead. Confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thou shalt be saved. All right, these people confessing, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Look at this now, listen. And they're not told that they're lying. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in the name of Jesus? Wow. And have cast out devils in thy name, the name of Jesus. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? We take upon us the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches to come out of him. And he said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? And jumped on them and practically killed them, I guess. They didn't have a right to use it. But they have done it and have cast out devils. Look at this. I've prophesied in your name. We, okay, let's say it like it is. And the many are saying this. And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name, always in the name of Jesus, look, done many wonderful works. Folks, you can't just read this and skip over it without stopping here and looking at what he's saying to us. Wow. This is tremendous here. And then, verse 23, look at here. Will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The gifts and calling are out repentance, or without repentance. Meaning what? That if a gift comes upon you, you have authority given unto you, the power of God, the Holy Ghost to cast out devils. Okay, it doesn't necessarily leave you because you get off track. But God's always watching what's in your heart. What you're not only saying, what you are thinking. I'm talking about today, hearers, sayers, and doers. Most of the body of Christ, they're hearers and they're sayers, but they're not doers. Pay attention here. Let these words sink deep. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Be gone, ye that work iniquity in your hearts. Therefore, all right, see the word therefore, what do we do? Luke, see what it's there for. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man, which built his house upon a rock, hearing the sayings of mine and doing them, is building a firm foundation on your spiritual house, your life. To not hear it, okay, but hearing it is just not enough. But to not do it. Next verse. Here's the wise man. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. Storms of life come to everybody and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. A solid rock. A solid foundation. The foundation of your life, your future, is your spirit, okay? Founded upon a rock, and the rock is what? Everybody's going to say, rock's Jesus. Oh, wait a minute now, wait a minute. There's people here who are born again. They were born again, children of God. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. There was something wrong. They didn't stay with the word. They didn't hear the sayings and continue to do the sayings. Building your house on a rock is hearing the sayings of Jesus and doing the sayings of Jesus. Are you listening to me? And you got a Bible, don't you? Go, do like I did when I started. Just go read the red words. Just go read the red words. I mean, that's Jesus hearing his sayings and do his sayings. And he said that wise man who did that, boy, the rain, the storms of life came, beat upon that house, and I'm telling you, it looked bad. But it did not fall because it built a rock. Now, let's go to the other guy who heard the sayings but didn't do the sayings. Didn't act on the word, didn't put it into practice, didn't keep it, didn't continue with it. Something pulled him away, something got him out. And everyone to hear, and he could be casting out devils all the time. He could be prophesying. The anointing came on here. Maybe he was even a prophet. My Lord, folks. Maybe he was even a prophet. Maybe he had a gift, an anointing, special anointing to cast out devils. I believe every believer has that. It's what we're called to do in the commission to the church. And to work many marvelous works. My goodness, many. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man or a fool. All right? The only people in hell are fools. What can I say? It's true anyhow. Be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. No foundation. No hearing the sayings of Jesus or doing the sayings of Jesus. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. Boy, it looked strong on the outside. It looked pretty. It looked great. There ain't no way a storm can get to this. And great was the fall of it. I've seen some tornadoes go through the country and demolish. But if your house, your spiritual house, is built on a rock, you cannot be destroyed by Satan. I don't care what he throws at you. Can you say amen? All right. Then the Bible says that they marveled at his words. Now, I want you to look at Mark chapter 7 for a moment. And see something else here, or the same thing said another way. Mark chapter 7, or excuse me, Mark 10 and verse 17. through 21. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running to him. This is, we would say, other story, the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler, okay? And he asked him, good master, Lord, you would call it, okay? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Okay, watch it. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Are you doing any of that? Do not bear false witness. Quit lying. Defraud not people. Honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're guilty of that. I see it. And he answered and said to him, listen to the rich young ruler. Master, all these have I observed from my youth. It's true, he had. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Have you taken up your cross? Are you following Jesus every day? Are we? Come on, folks, look at your own self. Are you happy with yourself? I'm trying to make you a better you. I am not here to beat you over the head or condemn you. I've not called out your name, not going to. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm my own worst critic. I do the same to me. I'm hard on me. I am repenting. I'm getting myself ready for the return of Christ. And while I'm here and while I'm breathing, I want to be doing things for God. I want His will fulfilled in my life. Can you say amen? Listen, we need to let these sayings sink down deep into our souls and quit mentally assenting to them. Now look at John chapter 14, will you? Oh, my goodness. Verse 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, you go around telling everybody you love him. I remember one day I challenged God. We were, actually my wife and I were split and tell the story to our church so often. But we were split and I just stopped. I had read Matthew 7:11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven? How much more God? I love a how much more God. Give good things to them that ask him. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, that's cut and dry, isn't it? I mean, that's a blank check. Wow. And so I challenged the Lord. I said, you go around telling everybody you love us. I said, well, what about my wife? She's a gift. How come we're separated? He spoke back to me and said this, I've already taken care of it. I heard him say that. And in 15 minutes, she called me after being separated for 2 years. Came on that day and gave her life on her knees, 5 minutes in the house, on her knees, giving her life to Christ. Totally. One time, totally submitting to Jesus. Wow. Made me a happy man. Book of James. What does James tell us? James chapter 1. Right after, let's see. I believe James is right after Hebrews. Yes. James 1, verse 21. Listen carefully. Talking about hearing the sayings and doing the sayings. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, a whole lot of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Folks, you got to keep the word in your heart. You got to keep it in there regular and be doing it. You'll read that prayer on the mount, starting in Matthew 5, after he says, blessed, 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 okay, and then the bulk of it, from there through the end of Matthew chapter 7, is warnings. It's exactly true. Warnings to us, you and me. The Bible is God talking to us. So get rid of this naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, because it's only the engrafted word into your heart that's going to save your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, but look here. But be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus rebuked the sayers. Jesus rebuked the hearers only. The hearers only. They're only hearing. They're not doing anything about what they're hearing. They're not acting on the word, putting it into practice, keeping it in their heart, letting it guide them each and every day of their life. Oh. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look here, deceiving your own selves. You can't even blame the devil. You deceived your own self. So think about this, folks. It's obvious here. Hearing and saying alone will not cut it. And this is probably the most dangerous things that believers are doing, assuming that they're just fine and have fell into the trap. Once saved, always saved, man. I can live any way I want. I had a fella in a church right here, bless his darling heart and stupid head, said physical sins don't matter. I got news for you. Read the Prayer on the Mount. Read the New Testament instead of just following what somebody else preached. Prove it for yourself. So, only the doers are the ones that's going to make it into the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? Key is abide in Jesus, but abiding in the word. Then we can ask what we will. If we're not getting results, one of those two things you're missing, because everything's going to come from the word. I don't believe people today take seriously what Jesus is saying to us. He rejects the people that only hear or ignore his warnings. Depart from me. I never knew you. Yet all the time they feel like they're fine. But Lord, Lord, we prophesied. We cast out devils in thy name, prophesied in thy name, and have done many wonderful, marvelous works in thy name. And you get all the glory. God's looking on the inside of your heart. Have you got, a judgmental heart? Are you condemning others in your heart? Say one thing with your mouth, but your heart's saying something else. You need to spend some time in tongues. Burn it out. Burn it out. Get it out. You better get your business straight with God in your heart, folks. This is where it's at. Jesus said, I never knew you. Ladies and gentlemen, this should give us all pause. This is what I said Sunday. These warnings, all these warnings. Have you become complacent? Most of us can't even say, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. Most Christians don't prophesy. Yet the gift is there. The anointing is there. You feel with the same Holy Ghost I am. Most Christians ask them, do you cast out devils? No, it ain't going to either. They're afraid of them. No need. They're afraid of you. That's the truth about it. You finding out who you are and what you have and doing marvelous works. That's the only way we're going to prove to the world that Jesus is alive. Listen, folks, this is alarming. What was it Jesus said to the church at Sardis and Revelation chapter 3, thou had a name that thou liveth but art dead. Strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. Wow. They thought they were okay. They thought they were ready to go. Listen, you can fall into that once saved, always saved trap as long as you want to. But Jesus told them, I have not found your works perfect toward God. Perfect here, the Greek word is plero, means I've not found them level up to what God is expecting, or complete, or measure up. Measure up. They don't measure up, fulfilled. Laodiceans, of course, was like that. So, it's the inward man. Most of them spend their time today, I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, a lot of folks don't want to come to where the truth is taught. And we're supposed to be Christian believers. We're supposed to be able to handle the Word of God. So, do we take up our cross daily and follow Him? I hope you are. His Word. Do you ask Him every day, what's your plan for my life? What is your purpose for me today? And how should I pursue it? There's a story, isn't it, that just sums it up. And I just brought it up Sunday, but I didn't get to finish the story of how the Philistines and the Israelites got into battle, and there was a great slaughter. And the Philistines won. And there was a high priest, his name was Eli. And he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they were notorious. Their father wouldn't correct them like he ought to. Listen, God's word says, discipline your children. And it says, if you don't, you hate them. The rod of reproof drive rebellion out of a child. Sometimes it takes that. We don't like it. We don't want to have to do it. But I found out with most people, one thing I learned, they never learn until pain comes. Pain. Somebody said, no pain, no gain. I'm sorry about that, but it's true. And I've suffered a lot of pain in my life, a lot. And I'm sorry for it, and I've repented for it. But in that story, here come one, Phinehas, Hophni and Phinehas were killed. They were, in their life, they were standing at the gate of the tabernacle, of the temple, committing illicit, immoral things with women that came into the temple, right in the building. Living a dangerous life, weren't they? And they died, were killed. And Eli, overweight, blind, couldn't see. There, the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple. The anointing went out. And here come a runner. And he's, what's happening? What's all this noise about? He said, it's a great slaughter. And he said, the ark of the Lord is gone. The ark of God. Phinehas had a wife and she was pregnant. And at that time when she says that Eli, when he heard it, about that ark was gone, he fell over backwards and broke his neck dead. I wonder where he ended up. And he the high priest. Ruled for 40 some years, I think it was. But Phinehas' wife was expecting, and she was about, labor came, pains came to her. The child was born. She paid no attention to it because the ark of God was gone, and she named the child Ichabod. Ichabod. Meaning what? The glory of the Lord has departed. Ladies and gentlemen, the glory of the Lord has departed from the church. I know there's spots and places where he's doing what he can. I know he's helping us all that he can. But it's because of those things in our heart, the condition of our heart, and not paying attention to his word, treating his word lightly. I call it lightly esteeming the word of God. This is dangerous, folks. You know what? We play dangerous games. Every Sunday we gather together. How many people that come in to the church are sayers? Yeah, got a bunch of sayers. Hearers, yeah, they got a bunch of faith in them. Doers? Playing a dangerous game, assuming that they're all right. They're going to be fine. Jesus comes, going to hell. Listen, it is appointed to man and woman wants to die, right? Sure. Okay, and after that what? Judgment. What happens at the judgment? Do you think it's going to be like some sweet kind of job interview? Hello, how are you? How's the family? Everybody, it's good to see you. No, it's going to be strong. was telling the story of a man named Howard Pittman when he stood before the Lord, because he did die. And he said it was the voice of thunder, and God rejected his life because of his lukewarm lifestyle. Oh, he was in church. He helped orphans. Yes, he had prayed for the sick. He'd been a pastor. But he said, if I'd have come, Jesus told him, if I'd have come last week, you wouldn't have made it. Or if I'd have come, you wouldn't have done it. Wouldn't have made why? Wouldn't have gone to heaven. He was shut off. He got to plead his case, but God sent him back to warn not the world, but the church. The church. And that's what I have to do. In Matthew 7, what he's reading, the straight gate, narrow gate, wide gate, broad way. These are warnings, people. And they're all part of that sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about man to build his house on the rock. What is it? They're building your house on the rock. It's hearing the sayings of Jesus. And what? Doing the sayings of Jesus. Now, Matthew 15. And I'll close this up shortly. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15 and verse, 7 through 8, I think is where I'm going. Jesus said, red words here, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Jesus is Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing our little songs in church service. Go back out, rest of the week, do nothing. They draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's the condition of the heart. It's the condition of the heart. And he sees it all. It's always been the condition of the heart that matters. The inward man, the hidden man of the heart. Listen to me. If this doesn't stir you up, stir up your heart, I don't know what will, folks. The greatest part or the bulk of the Sermon on the Mount was warnings. What? Danger ahead. Pay attention. Okay, Pastor, what do I do? All right, listen to the word, read the word, and ask yourself some questions. What does the Father want me to do here, today, now? Ask yourself that and ask him. Number two, what changes do I need to make in my life? Number three, what actions do I need to take now in order to be a doer of the word? Next, what sin is holding me back? What iniquities do I need to repent of that I haven't? Where am I in disobedience? What iniquities have separated me from my God? The scriptures teach us there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. So, we're doing something very dangerous. If you're assuming you're okay, anybody that assumes that I'm all right, everything's fine, they're already gone. Gathering most churches are just hearers and sayers, professing we love him to be his disciple, his followers, true believers. But unless our lives show an inward obedience to Jesus and we are doers of his word, we don't even know him, ladies and gentlemen. That's the truth. Wigglesworth used to say, I don't know God by what I feel, the senses. He said, I know God by what his word says. Hallelujah. And he always said, faith is an act. But listen, Jesus, God the Father, knows us by our actions also. Faith is an act. All right, bring it home. Child of God, Do you count it a joy and honor to be reprimanded by God? I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. And I'm supposed to have the spiritual rule over you to a point. Not as a dictator, no. But I can't make you do anything. I can't make you get on fire for God. I can't make you stir up yourself. You have to do that yourself. And listen, I can tell you, God's not going to stir you up. You stir up yourself. Kick the dust off your feet. Wake up. Get out of sleep. All right, I'm going to change my life. When I go to church, they're going to think I'm a different being. I'm ready to do the will of God in my life. I've always asked. I had people say, ask me questions. And they said, Pastor, what is your vision? What do you want to do? And all I say is this. I want to serve my generation by the will of God. That's all I desire. We're too attached to this world. I saw myself like that. We're just too attached. This world's going to vanish. It's going to be destroyed. A new one made. And we that are doers of the word and acting on it are going to come with Jesus. He's going to take us out. And when we're gone, because we're the ones restraining the devil, because we have the power of binding and loosing, and we're doing it every day. Wake up, child of God. I love you. Father, thank you for teachable spirits, open ears, open hearts to hear your truth, and strengthen them, Father, to make a quality decision, not to just be a hearer or just a sayer, but a doer of the word. And you said in James, this man is the one that's blessed in his deeds. I pray, Lord, mercy. Give us another chance. Give us a revival, Father. A Holy Ghost revival of fire and anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom. Shalom.
Well, right now we want to give you an opportunity to give. If you want to give today, the instructions are right down the bottom of the screen. You can follow those instructions. His word says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is something that God promises us every single time we give. And we give out of a thankful, grateful heart to Him. Amen? So if you're ready with your tithe, your offering, let's go ahead and hold it up to heaven. Let's remind God of His word. Something that we constantly do is we put God in remembrance. We learned this past Sunday that that's something that we do, is we put God in remembrance. So we're reminding Him of His word. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to be a doer of Your word, not just a hearer only. Father, we thank You. We know that in Your word You said You would bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can even think or even ask for. God, we just thank You so much for what You're doing in us, through us, in this body of Christ, and in this world, through Your people. God, we give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Well, you can go ahead and give. Go ahead and send in your tithe and your offering. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We encourage you to join us again Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. Get here a little early to love on each other, to meet our pastor, and let's just dive into the Word of God this Sunday morning. Amen. We'll see you then.